In mid-October, Israel and Hamas, the Palestinian Islamic Party that controls Gaza, agreed to a prisoner swap. 1,027 Palestinian political prisoners were traded for the release of Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, who has been held by Hamas since June 2006. Many Israelis were horrified by the release of Palestinians, some of whom had been convicted for violent crimes against Israelis, and some Palestinians were angry that many of the prisoners released were sent into exile. On a just-concluded trip to Israel and Palestine, Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus attended a talk by Clea Towan, the international advocacy officer, with Adamir, a Palestinian Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association. She discusses the large number of Palestinians who've been arrested under the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, all but 0.3% of whom have been convicted, and the growing crackdown on the rights of those prisoners held inside Israel in violation of international law, the group says they've documented.
Since 1967, more than 700,000 Palestinians have been arrested by the Israeli authorities. That number represents about 20% of the total population, of the total Palestinian population. And when you consider that most of the people who are being arrested are men, it actually represents about 40% of the male Palestinian population. And there are kind of five broad categories of offenses. The first one is named by Israel hostile terrorist activities. So that's anything to do with military activities, but it means any activity that's carried out in the context of membership of what Israel calls an illegal organization. So if you, for example, write a political slogan on the wall, or you serve coffee to somebody who is associated with an organization that's considered illegal by Israel, you can be arrested under this category of hostile terrorist activities. And you have to remember that all the political parties in Palestine are considered illegal. So Israel's official peace partners are also considered illegal. So it's really a means to arrest pretty much anyone you want, and you can use the law to arrest whoever you want to. The second category of offenses is something that's called disruptions of a public order. And that covers a wide range of civic activities. So any activities, civic activities like organizing a demonstration or taking part in a demonstration of more than 10 people, writing slogans on the wall, distributing the Palestinian flag, all of these activities are considered illegal by Israel, and they can be penalized with up to 10 years in prison. And all of these offenses are categorized as disruptions of a public order. So you have these hostile terrorist activities and the disruptions of the public order, and those are the two categories that Adamir works on. Then you have three other categories that relate to criminal prisoners, and there it's Palestinians being arrested in areas B and C of the West Bank for either classic criminal offenses like theft or murder or anything like that, or traffic violations. You can actually be arrested by Israel for violating traffic laws in the occupied West Bank. And then finally, you have illegal entry into Israel. So that's usually Palestinians entering Israel to try to find work. And the majority of the criminal prisoners are actually Palestinians who are just trying to find work in Israel and cross into Israel illegally. Now, these Palestinians who are arrested for these offenses are held in approximately 17 prisons, all of which, except for one, are located inside Israel and not in the occupied Palestinian territory. According to international humanitarian law, a protected person who's arrested by the occupying power should be held inside the occupied territory, not outside of it. And transferring the population is illegal. So the very establishment of these prisons inside of Israel is illegal. But in addition to that, it also means that visits by families and by lawyers are very difficult because families have to obtain permission to enter Israel from the Israeli authorities. Very often they're denied. Only immediate family members are allowed to go and visit, so parents, brothers, sisters, children. Nobody else from an extended family is allowed to visit. If you're a Palestinian lawyer from the West Bank, you are, in fact, not allowed to visit your client inside a prison in Israel. So these lawyers will only be allowed to see their client during the trials which take place in military tribunals that are located in the OPT. So it has, not only is it illegal, but it has consequences on not only family visits, but also the right to an effective defense.
There has been a kind of steady worsening of the detention conditions in that sense in the past few years. In the early phases of the occupation, detention was seen as a time as well where you could be educated, you could become more politically involved because the prison life was much more organized. In recent years, more and more prisoners are being denied education. And in fact, just when the deal was announced, there was a hunger strike by a large number of prisoners who were protesting a number of measures that had been taken after a speech by Prime Minister Netanyahu on the 23rd of June. And those measures related to education, they related to family visits. And essentially what Netanyahu said is that because Gilad Shalit was still being incarcerated, Palestinian prisoners should be punished. They should not have these generous, he called them overly generous, detention conditions. And until the release of Gilad Shalit, all their privileges should be withdrawn. So what happened after that speech is that all access to education was banned. Prisoners were cuffed to and from family visits. In some cases, family visits were reduced from 45 minutes to 30 minutes. They had no access to newspapers, to books, and other educational materials. They had limited access to TV, and a number of other measures were taken by the Israeli prison service. So the prisoners went on a hunger strike on the 27th of September to protest all these measures. And then obviously the prisoner exchange deal was announced in the middle of a hunger strike, in their third week of hunger strike. But up until now, we still don't know if those conditions will be reversed. So although they were all linked specifically to the detention of Gilad Shalit, and Gilad Shalit is now free, there still hasn't been an official announcement by the Israeli prison service that those measures would be withdrawn.
That was Clea Tawan, the International Advocacy Officer with a prisoners' rights group, Adamir. Find more information on the work of Adamir on our website at btlonline.org.